Jesus. Oh, for Jesus. Oh, I am and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be.
All of my ambitions and hopes and plans.
All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender into your hand. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hand. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only never hope to be.
Sing all of my ambitions, hopes and plans.
All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Hopes and plans, I surrender these into your
hands. Pursuing your will.
For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in
in the chapel today, and I thought we might have a chat in the chapel with our guests, Gavin and Wendy. So would you like to come up? We should just share the blue mic. That'll be interesting, the ups and the downs. Oh. So Gavin and Wendy, as Karen said at the beginning, are our divisional leaders. Now, in our newsletter a couple of weeks ago, I think Gavin is the divisional commander, but they put we put district commissioner. Wow. I don't know if that's a demotion or a promotion.
I've never been called that
before. Never been called the district commissioner. So, someone said it maybe was a Hunger Games reference. I don't know if you know about the Hunger Games. Hopefully not. So what is a division? For those people who don't know.
So the Queensland Division is what Wendy and I lead. So in Australia, now it's one big Salvation Army in Australia now, and it's made up of a number of divisions. Queensland, New South Wales ACT, Victoria, Northern Territory, South Australia, I said West Australia, and of course we can't forget down the bottom there, too close to New Zealand.
Tasmania.
So, being the divisional leaders, what happens in your day-to-day? I think you have different roles. So how does that work in your day-to-day leading the division?
Each day is very different. But I guess maybe just in broad terms, maybe might be the most helpful way of looking at it. So with the restructure that came, the divisional leaders of previous times, because we were divisional leaders in Newcastle a couple of years ago, looks quite different. So our role is mainly focused on the mission of the Salvation Army, but of course you can't have a mission without things like property and finance and HR and all those things. So we work in a collaborative space with those people, but ideally it's about the mission and vision of the Salvation Army within Queensland.
Excellent. Pretty much what you do, or is it a bit different?
Yeah, it's the overall mission and vision of the Salvation Army and how that relates in Queensland.
Okay, very good. Now, a couple of weeks ago we had this thing called Officers Fellowship, where all the ministers, the pastors in Queensland, in the Queensland Division, got together. And in the pamphlet that they gave us, there was a couple of cryptic clues, I think, or guess the who's of the what's about the what's. I didn't take the time to find out if they're true then, so I'm going to do that now.
Yeah.
Now, one of the ones was that someone likes the beach, but someone hates sand. Now, who is who there?
I love the beach, and most of our appointments have actually been beachside appointments. Wollongong, New South Wales, Tauranga in New Zealand, which is on the coast, beautiful part of New Zealand. Port Macquarie, no, that's covered up. I think it's...
I grew up in Orange in West New South Wales. I'm a country boy. I'd rather have dust than sand any day of the week.
I think you've got a few hearts that would join that out there as well. Now, one of the other ones was, one of you likes fishing and the other one likes eating seafood, so that's a good match. Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, okay.
So for me, I love seafood, as you can tell.
Yummy.
So does that mean you like fishing?
Yeah, I can catch the bait, spread the bait, gut the fish, catch the fish, gut the fish, scale it, and do all that, but I don't want to eat it.
Well, we have a missional space where we actually go fishing once a fortnight, family fishing. You're welcome to come along any time. It's a great place for people to come and connect. It starts not next week, but the week after. Is that right, Steve? Yeah, so Thursday afternoon there's an event for family fishing. Can't see Steve about that. It's a great place to meet and connect.
And sometimes I even catch fish.
Excellent.
But there is a guaranteed sausage everywhere. So what else was there? Oh yes, now as you say, one of you was born in New South Wales, the other one was born in Queensland. How does that work with this controversial state of origin thing that's happening at the moment?
This is fantastic. What a wonderful place to be working and living in Queensland, where every week the Broncos get done by 50 and New South Wales win!
But I just remain quiet, because we do sit opposite ends of the couch, and I'm just used to winning, so...
Well, and Queensland is love living in the past.
So that's hopefully as controversial as we'll get. I've got another couple of questions for you. Have you guys always been Salvage?
I grew up in the Salvation Army home. I was dedicated at the Salvation Army at Hooperoo Corps, enrolled as a junior soldier at Carina, left the Corps at Carina to go to the Salvation Army Training College.
Doing the same, I was born, my parents went to the Salvation Army, and my nana and pa on my mum's side were Salvation Army officers back in the day when they called them Brigadiers.
I don't have a follow-up question for that. I was going to, but since you've always grown up in the Salvation Army... Oh, I have a follow-up question. What are your influences from outside the Salvation Army space in your ministries? The picture.
Yeah. I think, for me, I believe that everything rises and falls on leadership. And so good leadership means much about character. And so who you are. And so for me, many of my influences have been to do with reading and listening to podcasts or listening to speakers about this subject of leadership and what is that about? And how can I be not only a better leader, but a better leader through the Salvation Army for God?
I think for me, I guess I look at it a little bit differently in that I believe we lead out of who we are. So looking at who I am emotionally and ultimately spiritually, and wanting to be a better person because of that.
Alrighty, last question. As divisional leaders, I guess you've been in the role about 6 months now, is that right?
Yeah.
So I guess you've got a bit of a feel for the place. What is your vision for the Salvation Army in Queensland?
So this is number 16 Salvation Army Corps church that we visited so far on a Sunday. We've been to many others during the week, but that's where we are on a Sunday. And so we see what God is doing through the Salvation Army. Some salvos think that we're dead, but let me tell you, as I look around this congregation this morning, we are not dead. God is doing amazing things through the Salvation Army. And so what we're doing at the moment is we're looking at where is God working and where can we join him in it. So I think it's looking at our four purposes or the mission and vision of the Salvation Army. We want to be a Salvation Army that is caring for people. We want to be a Salvation Army that's building healthy communities in where we live. We want to be a Salvation Army that is creating Christian faith pathways. And we want to be a Salvation Army that is working for justice. That's what I believe the Salvation Army in Queensland has been called to do.
Did you ever think that already? That's very good. All right, so they're going to share with us now with the endeavour, with Bob reading and then the word, expanding the word after the word is read. But before that, I'm just going to pray with these guys today. So if I could bow your head and pray for Gavin and Wendy. Father God, I thank you that you called Gavin and Wendy into this space as leaders of Salvation Army in Queensland. I thank you for the vision that you've given them. I thank you for the people that they are. I thank you for the influences that they've had on their lives over the years, inside and outside the Salvation Army, the people that they've come in contact with, who have shaped them to be the way that they are. Lord, most of all, I thank you that they are your people in this place at this time. And as we open your word today, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will speak into our hearts, speak into our minds, and that we will leave this place with a better understanding of who you are, who you want us to be as people who follow you, as people who look to you for our hope in our future. So we pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks, Jim and Karen. I was wondering whether you could turn in your Bibles with me, or it might come up on the screen.
Yeah, it's behind you.
It's up there. Thank you. I'd be lost without you, Joe. Philippians 3, commencing at verse 12, if you'd like to follow along. And it's only two verses, so that's a good sign that it's a short sermon. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Heavenward in Christ Jesus. May God give some new understanding to that passage today.
Would you just join me for prayer? Now, Father God, we just thank you this morning. I thank you for each and every person here in this congregation, in this community that make up the Salvation Army. I pray that as we look in your word this morning, I pray that the meditation of my heart, Lord, the attitude of my heart might be right before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm wondering, when was the last time you asked yourself the question, why do you come to church? Why do you come to the Salvation Army each Sunday and during the work week? Have you really articulated that lately? Maybe there are some here that have come this morning because you're on holidays, you're visiting, and we'd like to say welcome. There are others here that have come, that have arrived here today because you've had a sense that you've seen that Salvation Army place down there and you've wondered what happens. So you're here. But when was the last time that you really thought through, why do I come? I think if we were to be honest, many of us would say that we have a need. And our needs, of course, are different. The need to grow. And I think the big need is the need to change to become more like Jesus. That's one of the things all of us have in common, I think, is the need to change. In God's Word, there are many names of God throughout the whole entire Bible. God gives himself a name that responds to the needs that we have. And so I want to read out a name, and it's called Jehovah Makedesh. And that simply means, I am the God who sanctifies you. Sanctify or sanctification simply means to change. In this congregation, as I look around this morning, we have people who have come for different reasons, who are checking this God thing out. We have people that have been working with the Lord for 40, 50, 60 years. And we have others that have just started in your walk with God. And of course, we have everyone else in between. But I want to say that this word relates to all of us. God is at work. God, through his Holy Spirit, has not done with you yet. Is not done with you yet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A lot of people think that they're not good enough to be Christians. I remember we were core officers at Port Macquarie in New South Wales for 5 years. And Mary was her name, Mary Smithwick. She was so devoted to the Salvation Army and serving others. And I approached her about becoming an adherent, about becoming a Salvation Army soldier. And she said, Gavin, I'm not good enough. And I was able to say to her, none of us are. We come to God just like we are, and he's the one that begins the change process. And the promise of that is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, what this means is that there are those who become Christians and they become a new person. They are not the same anymore because the old life is gone and the new life begins. The old life is gone. The old life is, of course, referring to a life without a relationship with Jesus. Our old spiritual nature. And then this new life that I'm talking about, this new nature, it's a new life with God. The Apostle Paul, of course, summarizes this very well, and Wendy read it to us earlier on. It says, listen again to what he says. This process of change, this process of sanctification says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all that I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. This big idea, this new life, means that we're in a new race. And in this new race, or this new journey, this process that we're talking about, God wants to change all of us. He wants to take your discontent and change it to joy. He wants to take your insecurities and change them to peace. He wants to take your bitterness and change it to goodness. He wants to take our mean streak and transform it to love. He wants to take our edgy personalities and transform them to patience. Friends, God is still in the change business. He wants to take our anger and our rage, and he wants to change it to gentleness. He wants to take that which is out of control in your life and transform it to self-control. He wants to change our character. How does God change us? How does this change process happen? Well, there are two extreme thoughts, and neither of these are biblical. I'm having trouble seeing. Oh, that always helps. There are two thoughts here, but neither of them are biblical. One extreme thought in the change process is that it's all up to God, and we just sort of sit back on the lounge and we don't do anything. That's not right. The other extreme thought says that God saves me, but then it's all up to me. That's not right either. What does the Bible teach about change? The biblical position of this theological word of sanctification that simply means to change. Here it is. That there is a God part and there is a my part. God's part is his power. Our part is cooperating with God. We cooperate in this process of change, but God's power through his Holy Spirit controls the process. We cooperate, God controls it. It's God's Spirit in us that does the changing. I'm very pleased about that, that it's not up to me. So this morning, just for a few moments, I want to share with you some steps or some ideas that might help us better cooperate in this change process. Number one, I want to say to you this morning that we each need to recognize that our spiritual lives are a journey. It's a journey. God changing us is a process. None of us have arrived. Is there anyone perfect here this morning? Wow. Just as well, I was going to come and check your pulse. None of us are perfect. It's a journey. It's not this overnight sensation. Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back. If you have a relationship with God, friends, and you've said yes to Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me, it's begun. That is sanctification, that is the process, that is the journey. I'm wondering, have you ever been, think back, for some of you, a little way, to when you used to go on car trips with your children? Those of you that have children, think about that. It always starts with everyone very excited about the car trip. You pack the car, you're doing stuff, you're getting ready, and then you get on the road, and before you're out of the suburb, what are the kids in the back seat saying? Oh, that's very good. Smart people here. Calandra. Are we there yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. It's one of the big problems, isn't it, that Christians face. And they walk away from church because the question that they're asking is, are we there yet? Are you done with me, God? I've had this problem that I've been working on for a week and you've not done anything. Oh, Lord. Are we there yet? One of the reasons I think we have a problem in our world today is this instant gratification society. We want stuff now. We don't want to wait. Have you ever stood at the crossing at the lights and when we could touch the button, how many times on average do you think you push the button? As though there's this little man in the machine and he's thinking, gee, they must be in a hurry, I'll change the lights right now. Or if you're waiting for a lift to go up and down, and you're waiting on the ground, and you've hit it once. Let me tell you, I don't think there's many people that only push the button once. The reason that we have a problem with changing our own lives is because we don't understand God's economy of time. It's very different to ours. God is not in a hurry. He knows his part. He's got his part. Our part is cooperating with that. Are we there yet?
No.
The good news is that this is part of a journey. No, we're not there yet. We're a work in progress, and he is not done with us yet. Secondly, I want to share with you how we might better be able to cooperate with this change process. Number two, we need to set our sights on the final destination. This is basic travel etiquette, isn't it? If you're a Christian, the picture of the final destination, of course, is Jesus Christ. Another way of saying it is this: the final destination is wholeness. Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, "And what God wants is for us to be made whole." When I was growing up, I grew up in West New South Wales in Orange Core, and I used to be impressed by the saints in that church, that core. And if a person could quote lots and lots of scripture, I was impressed. And then, of course, I got the calling to become Salvation Army officer, and I went to training college in Sydney. And then the lecturers, oh, they were so bright. They were taught, they were incredible theologians. I was impressed. I equated knowledge with depth. And then, of course, I was appointed to our first Salvation Army Corps at Tarawana in Wollongong. And I started interacting with people. And I met lots of people that could cram their heads full of knowledge, but they never allowed that to just fall to you. You expect me to be humble? You expect me to forgive that person? Hear me as clearly as you can this morning. Biblical knowledge, doctrinal awareness, theological understanding, they're all very important. They're essential. They're essential for you and me as we're not, so we're not blown backwards and forth by the winds of every belief. But that knowledge has to go hand in hand with the desire to submit your life to the author of the book. Not just to know about. Then. Number three, we need to learn how to refuel. This is good for the journey, isn't it? That you know how to refuel. You've been driving a car in the middle of nowhere and you're heading down the freeway and you pass that little sign that says plus fuel for 200 kilometres. You're already sitting on about just above E for empty, not E for extra. And so you're on E for empty, and because you're too busy, because you're in too much of a hurry, you just keep going. The kids are in the back, they're yelling out, and you just think, I've just got to go for it. And all of a sudden, you're living with stress, you're living with fear, and your body tightens up. Many of you know the feeling, because you know you're really going to run out of petrol. That's not living, is it?
No.
But yet, that's what many of us do. We don't refuel, we don't take time each and every day to reconnect with God. I need to be refueled every day. I've got to be topped up by the Creator. I think the psalmist David understood the importance of being filled by the Holy Spirit, by God, when he says, He, God, renews my strength. He guides me along the right path. I need to be connected. Things work best when I'm connected to God. How do you do it? Is it coming here every Sunday for the message of the week? Although wonderful people, wonderful Salvation Army officers, wonderful people you've got here in Tim and Karen, but let me tell you, that won't last. You need more than the weekly fill-up. You've got to learn to get refueled by yourself. Second Peter 1, here is the result of being refueled. As we know Jesus better, His divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. So make every effort to apply these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love one another. And finally, you will grow to have a genuine love for everyone. The Bible says that this change process is expressed in the context of community that we have here. Love for others, genuine love for others. That's why God's changing us, that we might love others more. You are never more like Christ than when you express His love. Are we there yet? Recognize that your spiritual life is a journey. Set your sights on the final destination. Learn how to refuel. And finally this morning, pause along the way to celebrate the progress. If you're a Christian, God's been working in your life whether you think He has or not. You may be slamming on the brakes in your own Christian life, buried under a pile of life, but God is still working in your life. Someone once said, you don't look ahead and see how far you have to go, you look back and see how far you've come. When you look into the window of your soul, the mirror of your soul, can you see that God has been doing some shaping in your life? God has been doing some changing in your life. Every time I come into a Salvation Army meeting, I pray at the beginning of the meeting, Lord, help us not to be the same people that came in that walk out. Because we need an encounter with the living God. God is doing something in our lives. Transforming me and changing me because, you know what? He loves us. Psalm 40, O Lord my God, you have done many miracles for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of it. I think if I was to go around with the microphone in this congregation this morning, I think many of us here could say that if we stopped and we reflected. and we took a little time out of the day and asked ourselves the question, what has God been doing in my life? It's a little test, a little measuring stick, and it's in Galatians chapter 5, and it says this: when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Friends, I think we all have a need this morning, and that is to change, to become more like Jesus. Let's personalize this a little bit this morning. Where are you in that journey? For you to think about your own lives, where are you in this journey? Maybe there are those here this morning that haven't even started the journey. The old life is still sort of hanging around. You're seeking God, but you're asking questions. I want to encourage you today that you've tried everything else. Now try the living God. There are maybe those here need to pray this prayer this morning: God, I want that kind of change in my life. Do that work in my life. God, I want a relationship with you. Would you come into my life? Would you forgive me and make me all that you want me to be? For all of us this morning, none of us have arrived. We are not perfect. God, through His Holy Spirit, wants us to be more like Him. We're going to sing a beautiful chorus, and it's just a chorus to a song, and the words simply say, Holy Spirit, promise presence, fall on me. I'm wondering this morning if God has been, through His Holy Spirit, has been challenging you, has been speaking to your heart, if you're feeling a little uncomfortable, if you're sitting there today. I want to say, allow God to just minister to you as you sit where you are. If there's someone that you'd like to pray with you, of course, COVID safe way. You know the people that are here. And if God's been speaking to you, and as we all close our eyes, you just need to raise your hand and say, God's been speaking to me. I'm not what I should be, but I want to be His son or daughter, and I want Him to work in my life. Holy Spirit, promise presence for me. Spirit, make me all I ought to be. Holy Spirit, give your power to me. Holy Spirit. We're working on some words, but I just want to encourage you, just close your eyes and we will sing this song to you. God's speaking to you. Don't leave until you hear that. Oh, God, we thank you this morning because we know that you are not finished with us yet. We know, Heavenly Father, that in life we face many difficulties. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. Life brings us troubles and concerns and trials. But we know, Lord, that in these that you journey with us. We know that you go before us. We thank you, Lord, that you come and you love us too much to leave us the way we are. And I pray, Lord, that as we have each examined our own spiritual life this morning, Lord, we know that you have been speaking to people. And I pray, Lord, that we might not be the same people that walk out here at this core, this church today. May we recognise, Lord, that our spiritual life is a journey and you are in the change business. That we might set our sights on the final destination, and that is that we might become more like you. That we might learn to refuel, that we might spend time every day in the Word and praying to you so that your Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. And as we do that, Lord, that we celebrate your love with those that we come in contact with. So, Father, indeed, it's been good to be in your house this morning. A little different for many of us, but we're just so grateful that you meet with us. Continue with us as we further wait upon you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The final song together, again, written by Fanny Crosby. We often come to hers. It was written as a Sunday school marching song. But we can't get up and march, I'm sorry. But again, it reminds us that we are on a journey. We are marching onward, singing as we go, writes Fanny Crosby. To the promised land where living waters flow. Hallelujah. Let's enjoy singing these words together.
thank you for joining with us today. I hope you'll stay with us for morning tea. Please be patient with each other. And remember to bring your morning tea back to your tables. It's a requirement. You need to drink at your tables because you can't spread COVID when you're sitting down. So thanks again to Wendy and Gavin for sharing the word with us today. It's been a real pleasure for you to be with us and for us to be with you to share together. And I'm going to leave you with a benediction written by Brooke Prentice, who's an Indigenous Christian, especially because it's NAIDOC week, but it's always good to remember the world from other people's perspectives. This is what Brooke writes in the benediction. May our footsteps on these ancient lands remind us of creation and connectedness in our search for truth. May the country, from its root to its branches, remind us to dig deep and reach high in our action for justice. May the eagle who soars in the sky remind us of the power in our call for love. May the expanse of the lands and the seas, of the skies and the stars, remind us of God's timing and our faith for hope. May the Holy Three, Creator, Lord God, Jesus, remind us of community. Now with grace, mercy and peace, go in truth, justice, love, and hope. Amen.